But last night, the biggest news story in racing here in Victoria was the announcement by Racing Victoria that they will introduce mandatory vaccination for all industry participants and workers. In the release that was put out, they say that all industry participants must have had a first COVID vaccination by Saturday, the 16th of October, which is Caulfield Cup Day, and the second jab by Saturday, the 27th of November, which is Zipping Classic Day. It's a bold move. It's the first public announcement from a major industry and sporting organisation to say that if you want to compete, if you want to participate, you must be vaccinated. And we are joined by the CEO of Racing Victoria this morning, Giles Thompson. Giles, good morning to you. It's a big call. It's a bold call. And a lot of people will be very supportive of this. And there will be a percentage that won't be happy. Was it a tough decision to make, Giles?
Morning, Michael. I think your assessment's right. Of course, it's a tough decision. You know, we're aware that we're towards the front of this trend at the moment, but ultimately the reasons for having to do it are very sound, and the advice that we've received both legally and from the chief medical officer suggests that this is something in a way we had to do, and it's about making sure that our working environment as safe as possible as soon as possible. And the nature of our industry requires us to make this call, because our industry is very, very mobile. The people are travelling around every day around the state. And the nature of the work and the close quarters of that mean that to ensure that we provide a safe environment, to ensure that we can continue to operate, and of course, you know, we've benefited enormously from being able to operate, and have also prepare ourselves for hopefully a world where we can have crowds back, which is likely to be a no jab, no entry type environment. For those three core reasons, we had to do it.
Racing has become, here in Victoria, the leader on this policy. The AFL hasn't instituted it. They're discussing it. Other major industries are yet to do so as well. The language from the government indicates this is the road we are all going down. But has this been preempted to go early on this in the hope of getting vaccinated crowds back to the track for this spring carnival by Caulfield Cup Day, when all participants need to have a first vaccination?
Well, it certainly helps that. And I think one of the things, the challenges we have as an industry is, firstly, we're different to a lot of other sports. A lot of other sports, they can sort of fly in, fly out type environment. They're relatively immobile, even though they're flying across the country. But you know, we're right across the state every day of the year. So we are different to other sports. And of course, some of those sports are reaching the end of their seasons as well. But one of the challenges we face is that if it becomes possible to have crowds, and that is a no-jab, no-entry type opportunity, and that seems to be where things are heading, we have a lead time to get our participants and our staff vaccinated. A club, for example, could make a decision today to open up tomorrow and only people who have vaccines come in. It takes us a while to get vaccinated, and therefore, as the industry, as the participant group, and as the employees within that industry, the staff, we have to get on with it, and we have to get ready for that eventuality if we're going to take that opportunity.
So for the industry participants who earn their living from racing, who are listening to this, unless you have a lawful exemption, you must have the mandatory first vaccination by Caulfield Cup Day and the second one by the 27th of November. If you don't have that done, what does it mean?
So there are two categories of people who don't have it done by that. Well, actually, that's assuming that the supply issue is resolved. And our assumption is that the supply is getting resolved and that people will be able to get a jab if they want one. Now, there are two other categories. There are those who won't get a jab because they don't want one, and those who can't get a jab because of a medical exemption or whatever it might be, a lawful exemption. They're slightly different. So those who can't have greater rights than those who won't. But for both of those groups, it's all about what is the individual circumstance for that particular individual. So why is it they can't or won't? And also, what is their job and what is their day-to-day requirement of that job? And we will work with those individuals, and we expect others within the industry to work with those individuals, their employers, to work out how best to mitigate against that challenge. The key is here a safe working environment. To those who can't and won't, there is a problem with having them in those working environments. They make it less safe for everyone who can have a jab. So we need to work through what is the individual circumstance, how do we mitigate against that? Things such as testing, things such as segregation, things such as redeployment to alternative locations or redeployment to alternative duties, all of those are at our disposal to work through that. And therefore, as soon as people understand whether they can't or whether they won't, they need to start having a conversation with us, if we're the employer, but also with their own employer, if it's not us, but also we're there to help and to navigate through that.
So a survey went out to participants last week, 3,400 odd surveys went out, just under 1,600 were responded to. Of those, 64% said it should be mandatory. So it's a positive percentage, but it's certainly not 100% or near that. And 67 fully vaccinated, 15 intend to be vaccinated, or partially vaccinated, I should say, and 10% undecided. But 8% of people say that they don't have a desire to be vaccinated. Now, that 8%, that's there's 25,000 industry participants, it's just under 2,500. Are they going to be out of a job, Giles?
Well, per what I've just said, Michael, it depends, or each individual circumstance we need to look at. So within that 8%, and that 8% is marginally less than I think the broader community, and the RV team, which is about 450 people in the race days, is only down to about 3.7% that currently are not looking to get vaccinated. We have to look at the individual circumstances of each of those people. Our desire is to work through this with those individuals and find ways to ensure that we can maintain a safe working environment, and that is for the vast majority of people who are going to get vaccinated. Vaccination is not a panacea, it's not 100% foolproof. It simply reduces the likelihood and reduces the risk. That's our responsibility, to ensure that that working environment is at that level. And we need to work through those individuals who can't or won't get vaccinated to see what that means for them on an individual basis. And I can't give you a blanket answer. Every single person is different in that regard.
This issue has become a legal minefield for all industries. I would imagine that this would not have been instituted without the full support of the state government and the Racing Minister, Martin Pakula. And could there be legislation which backs up such a stance for the industry?
Well, I certainly wouldn't be verbaling the state government's support in this or anything to that degree. Clearly, we've kept them informed of where we were heading, and so they have been aware of it. We have had to seek our own legal advice around this, and we've been doing this for several weeks now. We're very comfortable that the legal advice, is the emphasis of the legal advice is all about actually an obligation of an employer to provide a safe working environment. That's where the real hardcore the law sits at this point. And so, in fact, there'll be a lot of employers out there really struggling with this, because there is that obligation on the one hand, but on the other hand, there is the broader discussion about mandating vaccination. But our legal advice is pretty clear on this. We're very comfortable with that. It's something that we've been thinking about and exploring, and the conversation more broadly with the community indicated that for several weeks. And this is where we've had to land, based on that advice, not just from the lawyers, but also from the Chief Medical Officer and other general board health advice.
The ATA and the Victorian Jockeys Association has come out publicly in support of this move. For owners, when we do eventually get back to the track and you're allowed on course and in a mounting yard, this also applies to anyone who wants to enter the mounting yard. As you said, all Racing Victoria employees. For a country tracks and racing around Victoria where there is currently no restrictions or they've been eased, this is a statewide mandatory, directive for everyone involved. And what age also does it start from, Giles?
Well, it's people who are going into the race day operations areas on race day at a race course. So it impacts everyone who does that. So if you are an owner and the race course more broadly allows you in without vaccination, if that's where we are in the future, bearing in mind that at the moment owners are not allowed on course, but if in the future you were allowed without vaccination, then if you wanted to go into the racing operations area, you would have to have a vaccination. So that's the threshold of this. Now, of course, we think that where this is shaping up is that anyone who goes onto a race course at some point in the future, a crowd in inverted commas, will require a vaccination. There is a lot of talk about major events or events more broadly requiring no jab, no entry. And so that will also be captured by that regulation too.
So a weekend 15-year-old stable hand, do they need to be vaccinated?
Yes, to be in the racing operations area. And if they can't, or they won't, then we need to work out what those individual circumstances are.
What's the initial reaction been? Have you had feedback from any participants? I know you only put this out late last night, but has there been any feedback?
Yes, there has, and it's fairly consistent with, I think, what the survey says. So there are people out there who think that this is an overstep, an overreach, it's none of our business, and all sorts of other stuff that we normally get around Racing Victoria whenever Racing Victoria does anything. But actually, there is quite a large bit of feedback about this is a really good move. It helps giving people a lot of comfort about the work environment going forward. You know, improve the chances of racing continuing. We haven't really talked about that this morning, Michael, either. Mm. But yeah, the business interruption and issue here. You know, people who are vaccinated are less likely to receive the vaccine to receive COVID. People who are vaccinated are less likely to get ill, and people who are vaccinated are less likely to transmit it. Those are really important business interruption issues for us as an industry. We've kept racing for 18 months. The participants have done great stuff to ensure we can keep racing, and we're now asking the participants to get vaccinated and continue to race till the end of this pandemic, which has gone on far too long, and hopefully we can see a pathway out of it, but the pathway requires us to do this as well. So mixed feedback, but I think broadly supportive.
Are you aware of any jockeys or trainers who do not wish to be vaccinated?
I am not, but I'd be surprised if there weren't some. The statistics would suggest that there will be some who will not want to be vaccinated. Again, there's a difference between won't get vaccinated and can't get vaccinated.
Yep. What's the reaction from Racing Australia and other racing jurisdictions? Did you have any discussions with them? Do you think this is a policy that is likely to end up becoming Australia-wide?
Well, I'll get in trouble, Michael, if I talk for any other racing jurisdiction, as you know, so I won't. We've kept Racing Australia. There's been a bit of a discussion with Racing Australia itself. They were interested about where we were heading, and we've obviously the last 24 hours given them notice of this as well. But what other jurisdictions and how other jurisdictions, they'll look at their own circumstances. Yeah, the jurisdictions are actually more different than people think. You know, Victoria is a jurisdiction where participants can go right across the state every day of the week. Okay, you've got to do quite a few Ks to do it. But you can't even do that in New South Wales or Queensland or WA. So each jurisdiction is different, and each jurisdiction will approach this with their own circumstances, I'm sure.
And just to clarify, any interstate racing participant who wishes to attend any racetrack in Victoria, they now will also need to be fully vaccinated, I would assume?
Correct. They follow the same requirements.
Giles, final word to the participants, the racing fans who are listening about this introduction and what we're hoping for moving forward.
So, Michael, you know, this is not an easy thing to talk about, and you can see that in the broader community. You know, this is a topic that is a lot of industries are looking at. It's a big step. We believe it's a step that, firstly, we have to do for the safety of the team, but we also think it's a step that we have to do to ensure that racing can continue to operate over the coming months, which has served us so well as an industry to keep going for the 25,000 people who employ the industry, but also the horses who require us to look after them as well.
Giles, appreciate your time this morning and getting the message out there on what is a landmark decision, mandatory vaccination here in racing to try and safeguard the industry and also try and get crowds back as soon as possible during this spring carnival. Appreciate your time this morning.
No problem, Michael.